23 years of great things. Woo! Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I am excited to be here. You know, something that just stirred in me, actually, this past week, I was thinking about Psalm 126:3. God's done great things, and I'm full of joy. You know, you have a responsibility to be full of joy. Joy isn't because of something. Joy is because of someone. Hallelujah. And think about it like this. This is something that just deposited into my spirit whenever I was meditating on that verse. Good things is God's seed in you for the harvest of joy. Think about this. You have a responsibility to give God the harvest that he deserves. Living in the joy that he gave to us. Amen. That's why you find in Scripture when David, I think it's Psalm 42, David found himself not in joy and he told his soul, knock it off. Get up, soul. God's done what? Oh, actually, I didn't even think about that. That's basically what David told his soul. God's done great things for us. Amen. God's done good things. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. Can I flow for just a second, Pastor Roxanne? What is your name, sir? Yeah. Huh? Jesiah? Jesiel. Awesome. Do you go to church here? How long have you been here? Okay. I just heard the Lord say, take deep root. Take deep root here. Take deep root in this house. I'm not saying you were planning to leave or you were planning or you were thinking or you were maybe what's going on or what's questioning what's happening or a feeling a transition. The transition is not leaving here. Take root here. Take deep root in this house and allow the Lord to continue to move in your life like he already has. Take deep root. Deep root. And maybe it's a new help assignment in the house that you need to be seeking out to find out where God would have you to serve. Amen? You receive that? Amen. God so loves you. And then this right here, this is hilarious. So me and God were talking over here while Pastor Roxanne was finishing up, and I heard the Lord say, I'm so pleased with her yes. And I went, aw. And then I was like, oh, not Pastor Roxanne. Who are you talking about? And I'm looking around, and I hear over here, yes. Yes. And I went, oh, praise God. And the Lord said that there's opportunities. He's so pleased with your yes. And your yes has caused the increase in your life. And he's pleased with your yes. And here's what I heard the Lord say, that there are opportunities that are coming up pretty soon, opportunities that are coming up that the reason he's giving you the opportunities is because he knows that you'll say yes to them. He's pleased with your yes. He knows that you'll say yes to them. And so when the opportunities come, feel the freedom to the yes. Feel the freedom with the yes. Feel the freedom with the yes. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We serve such a faithful God. Such a faithful God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I'm just going to declare over the room. I don't want it to feel like it's a negative thing because it's not. But I just release the blockage of receiving. I release you. I release every blockage that is preventing the receiving. In the name of Jesus, not only in this service, but in your life. Come on. The Word of God has no expiration date. What you've been standing for is still coming. Hallelujah. What you've been standing for is still on its way. I declare a release of the blockage. Hallelujah. Don't get weary in well-doing. He who is faithful will receive in due season. Come on. Due season means you've earned it. You've earned it. For you to earn something, you got to do something. Come on, stand, stand, stand. What do I do now? I stand still. Come on, I still stand. Glory to God. In Ephesians chapter 6, there's no definition of a fight. Your responsibility is to stand. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Stand. Stand. Don't get weary. Don't get weary in that. I want to encourage you with that this morning. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. And Gabe, there's a direction that you were headed, and I don't know. I'm not saying this has anything to do with your work. I don't know what this is, but I believe that you'll know. There was a direction that you're headed, and the Lord said, "Hey, hang on. Let's revisit that. Let's revisit that direction." And then whenever I was about to say this, I heard him say, "He's going to want to go where I'm going. He's going to want to go where I'm going. He's going to want to go where I'm going." Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Are you happy to be here this morning?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. All right. 23 years and counting. This is just the beginning. Whew. This is just the beginning. Just the beginning. 23 years and counting. And, you know, we can't say thank you, Jesus, for Victory Church without saying thank you, Jesus, for your pastors.
Amen.
For our pastors, I'll say it like that. Hallelujah. Victory Church is here because of a yes. They could have said no. After 2 months, they still could have said no. Amen. I often think about that with me, because we just celebrated our 7th anniversary, and at the very beginning, sometimes I wished I would have said no. Amen. Don't throw nothing at me. I'm being honest. Now I'm in the flow. Now I'm good to go. But at the very, very first, I was like, oh, my God. Like, what did I? Ooh. This is a big thing. And I was telling I was traveling and preaching, so I had 3 good sermons. I had 3 solids, right, you know. And so the first Sunday was, I was like, man, this is good. Yeah. Glory to God. I was my own amen corner, you know. And then the second Sunday we were there, I said, woo, this is good. Golly. Third Sunday, I said, we were at lunch, and I said, and everybody, you know, people were like, man, Pastor, that was such a good word. That was such a good, and I was like, oh, thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. And then I was like, I'm out of messages. I got to come up with another one. And I was like, maybe we should just hand the church over now, because, no, I'm just kidding. Amen. Chris, what's up, man? I didn't get to see you at SWBC this year. And your precious, sweet family, glory to God. Amen. But their yes brought this house into place. Their yes brought this house into place. And what the Lord reminded me, and I'll flip it to our pastor. What the Lord reminded me is the Victory Church has been here a lot longer than 23 years. Whew. It's been here a lot longer than 23 years. See, before the foundations of the world, things were happening. Before the foundations of the world, plans were being put in place. Ephesians 2:10 says that you're God's handiwork, and he's got plans and purposes for you to do that were put in place before the foundations of the world. It also says that we have a responsibility to walk that out. And in the Greek text, it says, Paul actually said to conduct your life in this way. In what way? The plans that he has.
Yeah, yeah.
To conduct your life in the plans that he has. And so Victory Church has been here from before the foundations of the world. And then it was planted into this realm on July 19th. 19, I don't know what year, and I don't know what you want me to tell you what year. Her birthday. On July 19th. I know my pastor's birthday. Glory to God. And it helps that it's 3 days after mine. But the seed of Victory Church was sown into this realm. On July 19th. Amen. And so we have a responsibility to say yes. She could have said no. Praise God. I'm grateful she said yes, aren't you? Aren't you grateful for Victory Church? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Let's look at Matthew chapter 16. I don't want to take up a lot of time today. I really don't. I want to just encourage you about the importance of the house of God. And the importance of this house. The importance of this house. Matthew chapter, 16. Thank you. 18. Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven, but my Father who is in heaven. And I say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. On this rock I will build my church. What's Jesus talking about? He's talking about the revelation that Peter had. He's talking about the revelation that Peter had. Never mind, I'm not going to go there. The revelation that Peter had is what Jesus is referring to. And he said, what revelation is that? That you're the Son of God.
Yeah.
That you're the Messiah. That you're here. And Jesus said, man didn't even have to tell you that. You received that by the unction of the Holy Ghost, by the Spirit of God. And so you have an ability that I'm seeing in you to hear a yes from you. Right? So Peter said yes, and Jesus said, that is what I'm going to build my church on. That's what I'm going to build my church on. That's what I'm going to build my church on. This is not corporate. This is individual. This is an individual yes. Corporate yeses are great, but an individual yes is what God's looking for. And so when you have an individual yes, it begins a blueprint for God in your life. Amen. Amen. So Jesus said, that is a revelation that I'm going to build my church on. What is it? Salvation. You get saved. You get saved, and it begins. When you get saved, you accept a blueprint for your life, for God to put into you. Your yes does that for you. Amen. Your yes does that. The church. Say, that's me. You're the church, and this is the house of God. You're the church, and this is the house of God. That's one of the reasons that names of churches isn't wrong. What the Lord directed us to do was Generation Faith Center. We are the house of God, and when the church comes, other things happen in the building, and we have the school district uses it for a graduation, and I mean just different things. But we're a center. We are a house for the church to be in. Amen. We're a house for the church to be in, the house of God. So Jesus said, on this rock I'm going to build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. When we see the word build, we think of building, moving, structure, building a structure, coming, getting hammer and some nails, and we just renovated our building, and we built out a lot of stuff, and it was a lot of work. The main work was the frame, getting everything up. The inside was easy, right? We went in and just started filling in what we wanted to do, but the actual structure was the most difficult part. And so what Jesus is saying here, and Jesus is the one that's building this. I think a lot of times life, can I say it, Lord? Yeah. I think a lot of times the gates of hell start prevailing against a place or a life that we haven't let Jesus do the building on.
Yeah, that's good.
Jesus said, the gates of hell is not going to prevail against the church that I build. That's good. Well, that'll preach. Oh, I am preaching. Okay. The gates of hell is not going to prevail against it. The word build, we think of hammer and nails and building gathering material and building. But that's not what this is. The word build here is a little bit different. It actually means to erect or to stand up. To erect or to stand up. There's some building in there, but it's erect and stand up. He's standing up in you, erecting in you what? what he did before the foundations of the world.
Amen.
He's building by standing up in you what he already did. He didn't need to build something. It was already built. What he's doing is erecting something in you for you to take witness to. Amen. And you do that with your yes. You say, you are the living Messiah. You are the Son of God. Hallelujah. And he says, I'll take that as a yes. Now let's stand up the plan of God. Let's stand up the goodness and mercy. Let's stand up the live and not die. Hallelujah. Let's stand up that all the days of your life will be blessed. Let's stand up that my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Let's stand up the Jeremiah 29:11 good plans that God's got for you in your life. Not to harm you, but to prosper you. He stands up the frame. Stands up the framework. Stands up the framework. In Psalm chapter 1, you don't have to turn there. And I didn't give this to y'all. And I didn't even give it to me. Psalm chapter 1, I think it's verse 3. It says, those that are planted like a tree. The word tree, you go look that up and it says framework. That just came up in my spirit just now. There you go, Lord. Thank you for that, Father. Those that have framework planted. Those have framework planted. What is Jesus standing up on the inside of you when you get saved? Framework. Framework. He's erected something in you that was planned way before the foundations of the world. Way before the foundations of the world. And the importance that we have is to take what he has built and put our agreement with it.
That's right. Yeah.
To see the manifestation.
Yeah, that's right.
To see the manifestation of it. When we were building out our building in the first building that we got when we were leasing a storefront, Pastor Roxanne prophesied over that building before we got it. She said, you're going to get a building and it's not going to be conventional. She said, I see like several businesses all together. And she said, it's not going to be conventional. And she said, things are just going to start showing up. Material. Just going to start showing up. And I said, okay, well, praise God. And that's exactly what happened. We got that building, a storefront. We leased an old Dollar General building. And we had to renovate it out. And the angels were bringing material. I'm not exaggerating. I'm not talking about people in the form of angels being sweet. I'm talking about angels. I'm talking about literal angels. We would leave to go home and come back the next day, and there would be mounds and piles of lumber. And the cameras saw nothing except 1 second it was there. I mean, 1 second it was not there, and 1 second it was there. Amen. Amen. What happened? God gave framework, and my yes of agreement brought it into manifestation. See, when you see something in Scripture, especially if there's a law of first mention, this is the first time Jesus is talking about building his church. And when you see that, you can apply it to every other piece of your life. It doesn't have to be just stopping with salvation. Amen. When you need your marriage restored, glory to God, get a hold of some framework. And then by faith, build it out.
Yeah.
Amen. By faith, receive the supply. Thank you, Jesus. He erects something in you. The things that he's erecting in you has been planned for you before the foundations of the world. Glory to God. So he's standing up. He's erecting that in you. All the things that he's needing your yes to, he's standing up inside of you. Now we have a responsibility to build out the framework that God rose up. How do we do that? We get equipped. We get equipped. We get equipped. Ephesians 4 says that God put in place. Who put him in place? God put him in place. If God put him in place, I want to be in the place that he's putting.
Yeah, right.
Amen. He put in place apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers to equip the saints,
yes.
To equip you, to equip you,
yes.
To equip you. I was telling Pastor Roxanne yesterday that, you know, if this is just something that ministered to me. If we have a responsibility. The fivefold ministry has a responsibility to equip you. But you have a responsibility to be equipped. I feel like there should be an organ right about that moment. I felt it. Just something right there, a little something. You have a responsibility to be equipped. We have a responsibility to equip, but we can equipped till our eyes pop out. But if there's not receiving, there's not going to be change. Amen. So come into the house of God. Where does the fivefold ministry primarily operate? In the house of God. In the house of God. So you come where the equipping is, and that is Victory Church. Amen. Glory to God. 23 years and counting of equipping. Amen. Whew, that's so powerful. You think about it like that. Not just 23 years. Yay. 23 years of equipping the saints. Whew, 23 years of charging hell with a water pistol. Glory to God. 23 years of raising up sons and daughters. 23 years of yeses to Jesus. 23 years of building out framework. Glory to God. In the spirit realm. 23 years. Imagine if this is just the beginning. Woo! Imagine. Just imagine. Just think about it for a minute. If this is seed. See the importance of the house of God?
Yes.
You come in to get equipped.
Yeah, that's right.
You come in to get equipped.
Amen.
We have a responsibility to equip, but I have a pastor. You know, I tell our church, if you feel like you're going to go somewhere else, or if you feel like you move away and you have to go to, you know, another place, very first thing you should ask the new pastor is, who is your pastor?
Yeah.
Very first thing. Very first thing. Because if they're not being equipped, how are they going to equip you? Amen. When I'm in their presence, I try not to just talk. When I'm in their presence, I'll say something. I'll say, please correct me if I'm wrong. Please. Did I not say that last night? Please correct me if I'm wrong. And she disagreed with me and she corrected me. What was that? It wasn't harsh. It was equipping. It was equipping. Amen. It was equipping me. Just because I'm in the fivefold ministry doesn't mean I'm not being equipped. Praise God. So I'm in the we with you. We have a responsibility to be equipped. Praise God. So we have that responsibility. And the equipping happens, the operation of the fivefold ministry, primarily, I mean, it can happen in Walmart, believe it or not. But the primary place, the office of the fivefold ministry primarily is in the house of God. And so we come to the house of God. Aren't you grateful for Victory Church?
Amen.
How many of you have been equipped since you've been here?
Yes.
Amen. You've been equipped. I know you have. Glory to God. And if you didn't raise your hand, start getting equipped.
Amen.
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 The primary function of this house is to equip, to edify, to uplift, and to encourage. You know, I said this, and it was kind of like, whew, at my church whenever I said this one time. But the house of God, the house of God's primary function is not to lead people to Jesus in salvation. We should be evangelizing outside and bring the yes in here. Amen. If they come in here without a yes and they sit too long without a yes, they're not going to understand what's happening. Amen. They're not going to understand what's going on. They're not going to understand our responsibility. You equip so you can go out and get. Amen. And then bring them in with their yes so that their yes has now received a blueprint. Their yes has received framework. Their yes, your yes, is still receiving framework. But their yes to the beginning of salvation is coming in with the framework so that they cannot be built out by God. Powerful stuff. Thank you, Jesus. Let's look at Psalm chapter 92, verse 12. Thank you, Lord. Are you getting anything out of this?
Yes.
If you aren't, don't tell me.
It's good.
Thank you, Lord. The righteous, say, that's me. The righteous flourish. Woo. Woo. The righteous flourish. Like a palm tree. He shall grow like cedar in Lebanon. Those who are planted. Those who are planted, not just anywhere, but planted in the house of God. When the church is planted in the house of God, then you have a promise of flourishing. Then you have a promise of flourishing. Planted doesn't mean come in, sit, get, and go.
Right? Amen to that.
Oh. Amen.
Amen.
I hope you still love me.
We do.
Even if you don't, I love me enough for everybody in this room. So, yeah. Amen. Those who are planted have the promise of flourishing.
That's right.
I think a lot of times, I'm not talking about this house, but I you know, when I go and I minister places, or if I hear pastors talking and people, you know, I get the impression that people treat church, people treat the house of God like you know, there's no children's church in heaven, by the way.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen. We're not getting gold stars for coming to the house of God. Amen. We should graduate out of that mentality. We're not coming in to get a gold star or to get snacks. Praise God. Amen. We're coming in to be equipped so that we can flourish. Coming in to get equipped so we can flourish. So at any point in our life, if we say, why do I not see flourishing, but I go to church every week? Then at that point, we have to take a step back and say, am I getting gold stars or am I getting equipped? Am I getting snacks or am I getting equipped? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Am I there to fill a seat or am I there to get equipped? Hallelujah. When you're planted, you flourish. When you're planted, you flourish. I have said before, and I still believe that you don't have to go to church to get to heaven. You don't have to go to church to get to heaven. And but I tell my people, and I hope I'm not out of line, but I tell my people, you don't have to go to church to get to heaven, but it'll be a hell of a ride.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. Because that hell kingdom has an assignment. Okay. You don't have to go to church to get to heaven. You can go to church. I mean, you can go to heaven without stepping foot inside the house of God because you're the church. But your yes is easier in the house. Your yes is easier in the house. How many of you have had that experience? My yes is easier in the house. Amen. Amen. Whenever I'm encouraged, it's in the house. Glory to God. I'm in the house. I'm in a place where encouragement is flowing. I'm in a place where equipping is happening. I'm in a place where my life is flourishing because I'm receiving the equipping that is placed in my life. Glory to God. By the house of God. By the house of God. You know, Isaiah 40:31. I didn't plan on this verse either, but here we go. So Pastor Roxanne asked me last night. She said, what are you going to preach on? And then she goes, you got three sermons, don't you? I said, yeah. And she said, well, you know which one? And I said, yeah. Like all of them. We're just going to mesh them all together. Amen. But Isaiah 40:31 is a very familiar passage of Scripture. And it says, you know, that those that wait on the Lord, say wait. Those that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. Anybody needs some renewed strength from time to time? They shall rise up with wings like eagles and soar. They shall run and not grow weary. They shall walk and not faint. You know the scripture I'm talking about. Mounting up with wings like eagles. That means you're above the situation. It doesn't mean the situation is not happening, but you denied its right to affect you. Amen. So you're rising above. You're up. It's keeping your strength. And then you run and not grow weary. You walk and not faint. The word wait in the Hebrew text there is kavaw, K-A-W-V-A-W, kavaw. And it means this, not wait, sit and look around and figure out what you're going to do, and let me see, let me just be patient, let me see where God's going to lead next. That's not what that means. What it means is to gather together. That's not a coincidence. That's not a, where you're gathering together, in the house of God. Hallelujah. Where your yes is going to strengthen their yes, and her yes is going to strengthen his yes, and y'all's yes is going to strengthen y'all's yes. Hallelujah. You gather together. You know, we say, well, I'm a Christian, but I'm so weak. My strength, I'm trying to wait on the Lord, but the strength's not being renewed because you're misinterpreting Scripture. You're not gathering together. You're not coming together into the house. You're not coming together where God has placed you to be. Amen. And while I'm on it, can I just say, don't go to church because your friend goes there? Don't stay in a church because your friend goes there. Don't stay in a church because your yes becomes weaker instead of stronger. If you stay there because of relationship with anybody else but him. Am I okay in saying that? If you stay in a place because... If you stay in a place because of a relationship other than this relationship, your yes is going to get weaker and weaker and weaker and weaker. Not only are you withholding things from yourself, you're withholding things from this house. Okay, I believe that was prophetic. I'm not asking you to leave. If that, no, not at all. What I am saying is if you're here for that relationship other than him, just shift your focus. Amen. All you've got to do is just shift it. Amen. Okay. Okay. Praise God. The wind's blowing my papers. Where am I at? Psalm 92? Yeah. Are y'all still there at Psalm 92? Okay. I think I went like 9 other places. Here we go back. All right. The righteous shall flourish like a palm tree, grow like cedar in Lebanon. Those who are planted, those who are taking, we just talked about that, taking root. Those who are taking root in the house of God, planted, taking root in the house of God, shall flourish in the courts of our God. Now look at all this that comes with this. You're in this house. Aren't you grateful for Victory Church? In this house, you're being equipped. In this house, you're flourishing. In this house, you're growing. In this house, you still going to bear fruit in old age. All the old people said, amen. 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 Not because you're saved, because you're planted in the house. And if you're still bearing fruit in old age, that means you've been here since you were young. You got deep roots. Amen. Amen. Consistency causes this. Amen. You shall bear fruit in old age. You shall be fresh. Come on, you're going to stay fresh. You ain't going to be no old, crusty, grumpy, get off my lawn, Christian. Amen. Amen. You're going to stay fresh, 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 and keep flourishing. You're going to declare that the Lord is upright. Jesse, Miss Jesse was ministering in song this morning, psalmist ministry, and saying something like, I can, you know, have you judged him faithful? Can you say that he's faithful? You know how you can always know that you're going to be able to declare that God is upright? By being planted in the house. It doesn't mean that God's faithfulness isn't still there when you're not planted in the house, but what happened? Your yes is weaker. You're not seeing the faithfulness. You're not seeing what God's doing. You can always declare that he's upright when you're in the house. You can say, when you're in the house, you will come to a place where you can say, he is my rock, and therefore there is no unrighteous in him. I can say that. Can you say that? I know you can say that. You know how I know you can say that? We say the same God. We serve the same God. Amen. We said yes to the same God. Amen. Glory to God. What an honor to be in this house. Yeah. What an honor to be in the house of God. What an honor to be in the house of God. I wrote this down. What a privilege the house of God is in our lives. What an honor the house of God is, and what reverence it should be shown. What a privilege the house of God is. What an honor the house of God is, and what a reverence should be shown. You know, I love I love this house, and I love the reverence that is shown here. Amen. I do. What a reverence is shown. I want to encourage you. This isn't prophetic, or I don't think anybody's done this, but just to keep on your radar, not because some of you, she was mentioning some of you have been here a long time, years and years, and not to develop a familiarity with this house, because when you do that, you're losing sensitivity to what God's doing. If you come in because you're here every week, and I know where I'm going to sit when I get there. You know, maybe part of that change for you is just sit somewhere else when you walk in next week. Just sit somewhere else. Just sit somewhere else. Because you come in and it becomes a place of familiarity instead of a place to corporately host His presence and to say yes to His framework and to allow the building. Amen. To allow the moving. To allow what He's doing in your life to take root.
Amen.
Amen. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 2, verse 9. Just a couple more verses. Is everybody good?
Yes. Yes.
I'm doing real good. I want to get to the sandwiches and water. I didn't see who's getting baptized that's in here. Hey, that's so exciting. Man, that's so exciting. We did a baptism at a lake, and your life's going to be changed.
Yeah.
Even if you've been saved for 50 years,
yes.
This is going to take you to a new dimension.
Yeah.
It's going to take you to a deeper place, a deeper place. And when we were baptizing at the lake, this little girl came up to us at church and said, Pastor Casey, I want to get baptized. I said, well, amen. Well, we'll get with the team and we'll get that on the schedule. And she goes, no, sir, today. And I went, okay, well, praise God. So we're baptizing you today. And so I'm taking bossy directions from a 7-year-old. And so I said, okay. And so we sent a text out and announced it to our church. You don't feel obligated, but if you're free, come and support her. She wants to get baptized. We're going to be at the lake. Just grab your food. It was very, very impromptu, not planned. And hundreds of people came out to support this little girl, and it was so precious. The Spirit of God started moving. People started coming up from boats. We ended up baptizing 22 people. Thank you, Jesus. This guy pulled up on a boat and he hopped out of the water and he goes, what are y'all doing? And I said, I know what you've been doing. I said, hey, we're baptizing people that are bold enough to say yes to Jesus. And he said, okay. And I said, are you saved? And he goes, I want to be. And so we led him to Jesus right there, and he was drunk, not on the new wine. The new wine hopefully smells better than that. But he was drunk, real drunk. And he got out of the boat and he stumbled over to us. And he was like, oh, you know. And I was like, honey, don't let him pull you down under the water. And I said, do you believe that Jesus died on the cross? He said, yeah. And we went through the salvation. He gets saved. And I said, now we're going to baptize you. And he said, okay. And I explained, you're making this announcement that you're taking on. This is a responsibility. I'm taking on. My yes is causing me to be buried. It's causing me to come back up just like you did, Jesus. And when I come back up, I'm committed to living in this new life. My yes to you is deepening. So when he came back up, he said, yes, he came back up. No trace of alcohol, no smell of alcohol, no slurred speech. Every symptom of drunkenness went away. Every symptom. And he's clean and clear to this day. Glory to God. Amen. Amen. And I wasn't planning on sharing that story, but I'll tie it in with this. That little girl's yes. That little girl's yes started building out framework that God had planned before the foundations of the world. Oh, Jesus. That little girl's yes started standing up and erecting framework in people, in their lives. Amen. How deep you want to go with it? My yes to her yes. A compounded yes. Amen. Glory to God. Agreement. Because I could have been a stubborn bullhead. I'm the leader. I said we're going to do it later. Amen. I try not to do that. But, you know. But that's the importance of sensitivity. Hearing the voice of God. Knowing when it witnesses with you. Ephesians 2:19. We're just looking at some importance of the house of God. Is everybody still okay?
Yeah.
You said I got till 3:25, 3:4. All right. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19. Now, therefore, you are no longer strangers. You're not foreigners, but your fellow citizens with the saints. Why? Because you said yes. Because you said yes. You inherited that title. Because you said yes. And you're members of the household. You're members of the household, having been built on the foundation of the apostles, prophets of Jesus Christ, having been erected within you by these people, and Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building was fit together, grows into a holy temple of the Lord, in whom you are also being built together for what? A dwelling place of God in the Spirit. This is another, goes back to don't create a familiarity to this house, because you're quenching the dwelling place and taking up a place where God's Spirit could dwell. I don't want to take up any ounce of this room and not leave that place for the presence of God to dwell, the Spirit of God to dwell. Amen. I don't want to come into a house with any agenda of mine. Is this helping you? I don't want to come into this house with any agenda of mine and leave an ounce of space that the Spirit of God could have lived. I come in open to be equipped, bringing my supply, but open to be equipped. Open to be equipped. When you're gathering together, it's important. Because when you're gathering together, you're creating this space for the Spirit of God to dwell. This is important. It's very important. Because we've been built up. We've been equipped. We've been trained. Aren't you grateful for Victory Church? I feel like I've said that like 92 times. I'm going to say it 92 more, I think. I'm grateful for this house. I'm grateful for Victory Church. Amen. Yeah, there you go. You just add that to your daily declaration when you get up in the morning. Praise God. I'm grateful for Victory Church. I'm grateful for Victory Church. Don't rush through it. Amen. Don't get up and go, I'm running late. I'm grateful for Victory Church. No, this is where your equipping is. Amen. It's where your growth is. It's where your strength is. We just read it, Isaiah, or we just talked about it, Isaiah 40:31. It's where your hope is. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. I'm grateful for Victory Church. I'm grateful for Victory Church. I didn't plan on this one either. I didn't write none of this down. What did I write this down for, Lord? I don't know. Maybe GFC will get it next week. I don't know. I could go there. I'm grateful for Victory Church. Amen. Our people call them their grandpastors. They're our pastors and their grandpastors. Amen. You know, the Bible says that God's eyes are on this place. This place. Right here. The house. And his heart is in it. His eyes are on this house. And his heart is in this house. You know, that's why we give to this house. To keep our heart here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's one of the reasons. We give here to keep our heart here. I don't think it was an accident that in Matthew, I think it's chapter 6, verse 22. Don't put it up in case I'm wrong. But if I'm right, go ahead and put her up there. But just kidding. I think it's Matthew 6, 22. The Bible says that your heart will be where your treasure is. Where your treasure is. There your heart will be also. That's not a coincidence.
Oh.
That's not a coincidence. Oh. God's saying this. I want your heart where my heart is. I want your heart where my heart is. And I know that if you're giving to the place that you're being equipped, if you're placing your treasure, what I have already, it all belongs to me. But if you're giving what I've given to you, your heart's going to match my heart. Your heart's going to be in the place where my heart is. Praise God. Are you seeing the importance of the house? You say, oh, Pastor Casey, I knew the importance of the house. Well, hear it again. Amen. Glory to God. Pastor Roxanne took us to eat beef brisket sandwich yesterday, and I'd go again today. Amen. Eat it again. The importance of the house. The importance of the house. Not the come in, sit, get, and go. We give to this house. We serve in this house. Amen. Amen. What I did at our church, and our serve team shot up. I said, hey, you know what? If you're serving in this house, if you're on our serve team, just stand up. We want to honor you today. And everybody stood up. And then I said, now if you're sitting, ushers, go and hand them a card to get to a place to serve. What am I doing? That's equipping. That's equipping. I'm equipping them. Amen. I want their heart to be where God's heart is. Amen. Glory to God. I want to, and you're serving. I mean, you may not, if you don't have a good voice, stay off the stage. Amen. Well, it's all beautiful to the Lord, yet to the Lord. Sing at home. I'm not the Lord. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. But maybe that's not where you serve. Maybe you serve. You know what Dr. Holler did to me whenever we were raised by the same pastor? I told Dr. Holler, I was probably 15 years old, and I went in his office. I said, Dr. Holler, I want to preach. He goes, oh, yes. Oh, I see it all over you. And I said, oh, yeah, I knew you would. I knew you would. I said, I want to preach. It's in me. He said, I know, son. And he said, you want to preach? And I said, yes, sir. Whew, and I was getting stirred up. I already knew what I was going to preach on. I thought he was going to let me preach Sunday. I said, yes, sir, I do. And he goes, oh, come here. Come on. Come with me. And I said, oh, yeah. And I'm walking down the hall. I said, glory to God. I'm walking a little bit further, and I'm like, I'm going to equip somebody Sunday. Like, I'm like so excited. And we walk to the janitor's closet.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm like, is this where the pulpit is during the week? I don't know. What are we doing in here? And he hands me a toilet brush. Amen.
Amen.
I'm young, but I've done some time.
Amen.
Amen. Glory to God. I started early. Amen. Don't look at me and say, well, he's real. Thank you for thinking I'm young. But he's real young. He knew somebody. He just jumped up there and thinking I'm going to listen to him. No. You start serving. And your yes expands. Glory to God. Amen. Maybe your serving is coming. You know, we have a couple of people that this is, and this is something else that I tell, that I've said to our church before. I can tell. I never look at tithing records. I don't look at the giving. I can if I want to, but I don't want to do that. I don't need to. It's, you know, it's just whatever. But I can tell who is a tither and who's not. I can tell who gives and who doesn't. I can tell because we have some people another way that they serve in the church is I'll walk in the sanctuary and they're already there just straightening up the chairs. Yeah. Nobody's in. Nobody's looking. Yeah. Nobody is seeing them. Yeah. A heart for the house. Their heart's there because their treasures are there. Yeah. You know, I walk in and I'm like, the bathrooms are already clean. Glory to God. Yeah. They said, hey, I took care of that, Pastor. Don't worry about it. Amen. I can tell who's a giver. Because your actions are going to follow your giving. Okay. I've gone off on too many things, I think. Here we go. Let's go back. I'm grateful for Victory Church. It leads us to the place of not being sit, get, and go people. Not being sit, get, and go. Not being sick, get and go. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 10. Glory to God. When you're equipped and then you start flourishing and you're giving and you're serving, this is going to help you by other people helping you, and this is going to help other people by you helping other people. Yes. Watch. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 20. I guess I should turn there. I'll just Hebrews. Oh gosh, verse 24. Let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. Let us consider one another in order. You have a responsibility to consider one another. And there's a reason behind it. Because it stirs up love and it stirs up good works. What good works? The works that were erected in you when you said yes. The works that were there before the foundations of the world were formed. Amen. The framework. It encouraged you. Don't stop building that out. Why'd you stop? Amen. You come into the house of God and the love of other people, the stirring up of love from other people is stirring up your good works. It's going to say, man, I can keep going. Amen. Amen. I can keep doing this. Glory to God. I am making a difference in the house of God, making a difference in the kingdom of God. Amen. Amen. I am being equipped to go further. Glory to God. I am flourishing. You know, the house of God has a responsibility. I'm not going to say that. I'll say this. No, I'm not going to say that either. Lord, what am I saying? I'll say this. The house of God is never going to reach the world until we've got our stuff together. Yeah. Yep. We're not going to make a difference in the world as the house of God, as the church, until we stop bickering between our own selves. Yeah. And still, you know, I saw this guy talking one time and he said, you know, does anybody know David Ring? Like way back in the day, and he has cerebral palsy. He's a comedian. You'll just have to go look him up. He's way back from my Baptist childhood. He's hilarious though. And it was him that said it. One of the things that he said in a stand-up comedy routine that he did one time, he said, I want to sing Victory in Jesus. And the lady on the keyboard said, "Sir, what key would you like to sing it in?" And he goes, "What?" And she said, "What key would you like to sing it in?" And he goes, "It doesn't matter, because by the time we're finished, I will have hit every key on that piano." But he said, the problem in the church is that when life hands you lemons, the people in the church, the people in the house of God, are focused on whose lemons are bigger. Instead of making the lemonade. When life gives you lemons, make lemonade. Well, we're so focused on my lemon's bigger than your lemon. How many seeds are in yours? How many can you multiply? How much lemonade are you going to get squeezed out of there? Did anybody bring the sugar? Instead of stirring up love and good works. Stirring up love and good works. Glory to God. Consider one another. Where? In the house of God. You got to be gathered if you're stirring up one another. Stir up one another. I love what Paul said to Timothy. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 4. While you're turning there, I'll read verse 25 of Hebrews 10. Not forsaking the assembling of your lives together in the manner of some, but exhorting one another. And as much as you do it, see as you see the day approaching. How many of you know the day is approaching? Every day is closer. We have felt such an urgency. Yes. Mm-hmm. Amen. Yeah. There's such an urgency. And we were just at Southwest Believers Convention, and I heard Kenneth Copeland say that, you know, every day he wakes up. I've heard him say it a lot of times, but just reminded me. He said he wakes up and he says, "Well, we're one day closer to the resurrection." Yeah. I'm sorry, the rapture. One day closer to the rapture. Mm-hmm. Amen. First Timothy chapter 4, verse 12. Let no one despise your youth. Now, people talk about this in young groups and young people classes, but this does not exclude you. This just simply means one who's still learning. Anybody still learning?
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Yeah, you're still learning. Why? Because you still need to be equipped.
Right.
There's dequipping happening every day.
Wow.
Yeah, that's
good. Amen. Get to the house of God to be equipped. Glory to God. You've experienced at your job. You've been dequipped. What does that look like, Pastor Casey? Well, you're really standing for healing, because didn't your mom have the same thing?
Wow.
That's dequipping.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I made up the word, but it's what it is.
Yeah.
Dequipping. Amen. I'm standing for a new car. Well, nobody in your family's ever had a new car. Why would you think you'd be the one to do that now? It's dequipping. You come into the house of God and you hear, "My God shall supply all my needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." Hallelujah. It doesn't matter what they said. The stripes on Jesus' back is my proof that healing still belongs to me. Amen. What is it? Equipping. You're equipping. You're being equipped. You're still learning. You're still learning. You're still growing. Everybody is still learning. Everybody is still growing. So Paul says, let nobody despise you because you're still learning. Let nobody despise you because you're still being equipped. But be an example to the world. Nobody's going to correct me. Let no one despise you because you're still learning. But be an example to the
believers.
To the believers. Timothy didn't have an assignment to be an example to the world. Timothy had an assignment to be an example to believers. Watch this. In word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Verse 13. Apologize if I didn't give you that. Anybody got a joke? I'm just kidding. till I come. What are we doing? What did Paul tell Timothy? Be an example to believers in the way you live your life. What does that go back to? Goes back to Ephesians chapter 2, the way you conduct your life. Okay? Until I come. How long do I got to do this? Till he comes. How long do I got to be an example to believers? Till he comes. How long do I got to love that lady who I don't like? Till he comes. How long do I got to forgive her? Till he comes. How long? Now look, I mean, according to this, when he comes, you can let all that go if you want. You ain't going to want to. Amen. You're going to be in your glorified body then. It ain't going to matter. But it is work to love your neighbor sometimes. It is. It's building out to love your neighbor.
Yeah.
Glory to God. But you got to do it till he comes. Give attention to the reading, to the exhortation, to the doctrine. It goes on to talk about unity. To bring unity. There's a purpose. To bring unity. Bring unity to the church. Bring unity in the house of God. You know, I believe that Paul was telling Timothy, be an example to the believers, because Paul had an understanding that unity in the house of God is the best example to the world that the world could ever get from the house of God or the church. We got to get our stuff together. Amen. In the house. Before we start trying to get out in the world. Let our unity in this house. Let the unity in this house. If we had a guy in our church, I didn't even know I had offended him. And he said, he was speaking on a Wednesday, and he said, yeah, he said, Pastor Casey told me to do something, and I didn't like it. And I was like, where's this going? Getting ready for the shut off the mic signal, you know? And he said, you know, I didn't like it. And I said, I thought, I don't want to do that. And he said, but then I went home and I got in the Word and I said, he's right. He's right. Now imagine if he would have gone to five people in our church and said, I don't like what Pastor said. I don't like what he told me to do. I don't like what they said to me. I don't like the tone and how he said it. Now you have seeded offense instead of an example into five people. It's not unity. That's not being an example until he comes. Amen. Unity in this house pleases God. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. I'm glad he got figured out. Amen. There's nothing wrong in disagreeing. There's something wrong in staying in disagreement. Amen. Somebody's right. It's going to be me. So you might as well, it's going to be her. You might as well. Amen. I believe unity in the church is going to be the biggest example to the world. Amen. I'm going to be done, but I do want to say this. I wrote this thought. The house of God is a necessity. It's a place to encounter corporate presence, encounter his people, encounter his word, encounter his flourishing. Encounter his power. Encounter his equipping. Encounter his encouragement. Aren't you grateful for Victory Church?
Amen.
Glory to God. How many of you are going to make that part of your declaration? I'm grateful for Victory Church. Amen. Amen. Well, I love you, and I'm so glad that you allowed me to come. Thank you, pastors, for inviting us out. And I can't wait to see everybody get baptized. Glory to God. Did you get anything out of that today? Amen.